Hey there, audio listener. You are a marvel because most people watch this on YouTube. We appreciate you listening on audio, and please do rate this on iTunes or whatever podcatching device you're using. A note on YouTube, they've gone beyond the step of demonetization and copyright claims and have outright throttled our organic reach and stopped notifications from working. So Half Asian lawyer Bill Richmond has reached out to their contacts. We'll keep you updated, but we appreciate your support. So what you can really do is be sure to bookmark the page, check in, share it, and of course, it's more important than ever to join Mug Club at lotterywithcredder.com/mugclub. Not only do you get the hand-etched mug, hand-painted as well, you get the entire Daily Show bonus content, the whole Blaze TV catalog, and it's really the only thing that keeps this this program afloat. It's more important than ever because of the uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen with YouTube and Facebook. And hopefully, God forbid anything happens on iTunes. So lotterywithcredder.com/mugclub. Enjoy the show.
The mouth noises came back to bite.
Good morning, my cup.
He breaks the
Come on, look at that.
Look at that.
So many ankles.
Those are flood pants for crying out loud.
Oh, Canada, I'll save you now.
All right, Brendan. Even Brett, what's going on, Brett? What do you think about Gibby's pants?
That's usually how my pants look.
Yes.
Oh,
that is true. It is.
Hey, Steve, you know what you just proven? There is such a thing as environmental racism.
I don't know what you're saying.
Shut up. You said it wrong. You know what this proves, Steven?
What?
White privilege does not exist. That's what I... environmental racism. Shut up.
Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus?
It comes from China.
Every day.
And maybe that's a question you should ask China. Don't ask me, ask China.
Yeah.
crisis is so big, it feels almost impossible. It's like the planes go into the towers every day.
A new technique I learned from my marriage therapist, and to stop interrupting, do this physically. The problem was I did it to my wife in public. It's supposed to be on me.
Otherwise,
domestic abuse.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, very glad he's here after that intro and that he took part. My half Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, is here. How are you?
Hi.
Oh, Quarter Black Heritage is here. How are you?
I
don't like it. Audio way too cute, Maddie. She's so cute. It disgusts me. We have Gavin McInnes on the show today.
That's true.
He will be on later on. What's the wine of the day there, Gerald A?
Wine of the day is Woodward Canyon Chardonnay.
What's there on the bottle?
I hope nothing this time.
I'm just making sure.
I know
you're
who
sturdy.
Did it.
Really?
I do.
You have no idea.
I do. You told me. What do you mean I have no idea?
Good for you, Peter Falk. So, question of the day. That's he's going to walk in and go, you drew a dick on my wine bottle.
That's a good Falk. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
Nice job.
Wow.
I don't know. A question before. We're going to be talking about Mike Flynn a little bit here, and I know a lot of people haven't covered it. Yeah. I am so tired of Russia and the FBI, I'm also tired of COVID. And so after I just might swallow a knife. Big do you think Obamagate, the scandal, is going to be? Or do you think it's just a false conspiracy that people have been pushing? The truth is Obamagate, and maybe there are some people who've thrown some false conspiracies under that umbrella. But the idea that there was spying, the idea that the FBI was used as a political arm, you know, for the outgoing administration, that's absolutely verifiably true. Like, there's no doubt
100%
about that.
True. Like, why are we talking
We're
about
that? We're not saying that they have a sex ring in a pizza parlor. We're just saying, you know, horrible president.
Every time.
Only thing worse than his presidency is post-presidency. He's rivaling Jimmy Carter.
Continues to get worse.
One hell of a peanut farmer. But first, can we agree that cats are just the worst, but also funny?
Stop it.
I'm so hungry. So,
don't eat them.
Stop judging their culture.
No, I will judge their culture.
We eat pig, and George Clooney has them as pets. Leading the news, apparently they're just as affectionate as dogs. Have you heard that?
They don't taste the same, though.
I don't really care. It's entirely because I bet you if I met a pig that I cared about, I'd have a different opinion. So that
you'd still eat them.
Well, I just avoid social functions that involve pigs.
Oh, well, that should be pretty
easy. I'm not going to a swine mixer anytime soon.
No.
Leading the news, more old man jokes coming up. Just so you know, I have horrible vertigo, so the camera is going like this. Yeah. If anyone has a cure out there, you know, not if you're an advisor to the WHO,
but a
real doctor, Dr. Burks.
Hey.
He needs medical attention.
You're on my list that my wife has deemed acceptable for dinner. She'll be present, but we can ignore. She's basically background furniture. She starts talking. I'll just go like this, and then maybe like this. Burks is talking. So, leaving the news.
So creepy.
Florida. Yeah, creeped out. Governor Ron DeSantis. He was. This is just. It's incredible. He was questioned by a reporter about his firing of this. You know, this woman who claimed that she was fired because she was trying to include valid data, and the media picked up on this. It was this whole kind of firestorm. Florida. Just. It's such an incredible response, I had to include it today.
You just have me take that. He doesn't know about it. So let me just,
well, first. Can I ask my question? Okay. I know that you've addressed this before, but there's a question of why the state asked her to remove it.
Right. So first of all, okay. So one, she's not a data scientist. She's somebody that's got a degree in journalism, communication, and geography. She is not involved in collating any data. She does not have the expertise to do that. She is not an epidemiologist. She is not the chief architect of our web portal. That is another false statement. And what she was doing was she was putting data on the portal, which the scientists didn't believe was valid data. So she didn't listen to the people who were her superiors. She had many people above her in the chain of command. So she was dismissed because of that and because of a bunch of different reasons about how she did.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah,
he did everything except actually light her on fire.
Yeah.
Pretty much. What do you do with a degree in geography?
What she did.
Like, I don't
you get wrongly fired.
The maps are made.
I know you can. Unreal.
We know all of them.
I haven't
seen. But
that's
a cartographer. That's not a geographist, you know?
Like, you know about rocks? Hey, come on.
I haven't seen anyone put on notice that severely since Jesus and the fig tree.
Oh, wow.
Jesus is really laying into that fig tree.
Yeah, he can get a little moody, but, you know, he's got a lot on him. So.
Yeah, it's just one tree, though.
Yeah, but he's stressed.
Yeah. He shouldn't be worrying about this. I'm going to say something.
I will wilt your ass.
Hey, Jesus, you know, this fig tree thing, really, it's not that big a deal.
Well, it's not just about the fig tree.
Right, I know, yeah. You've got a lot on your plate. We can really just take care of the stuff for you.
It's allegorical is what I'm trying to say.
Right, but if you need some figs, if you really need some, we can just go get you some. We can buy you figs.
Do you want figs? We can go to the temple and buy you figs.
Yeah.
Hold on. They're selling figs at the temple?
Yeah, where the court of the Gentiles used to be.
Yeah.
Yet again, proving there can be righteous anger.
Sure.
There is. Yeah.
Doesn't like figs, apparently.
No, he doesn't. Well, he does. No, he loves figs. He missed
the story.
The whole point of the story is that Jesus loved figs.
Oh. Gerald's a Methodist. He doesn't understand. Hey, can I just point out, though, that we absolutely have to have Smooth Manny play Aladdin. I mean,
yes.
It looks like a beggar orphan.
It really did look like him as a 40-year-old homeless man.
Yeah, yes. Amazing.
With an unnecessary dreidel.
Yes, I love it.
By
the way,
animated.
But this going back to this guy, DeSantis talking about this girl, Rebecca, I forgot her last name.
Yeah.
She also has a pen. There's an investigation into sexual harassment and cyber stalking. From a woman.
What?
Yeah, from her.
Oh my God!
And she was putting in. She was putting in data. Here's the thing: people don't understand. They said, "Well, why are they trying to silence voices of dissent?" And she's not a scientist. And there was a chain of command where she would submit info, and the scientists would, "Well, this doesn't work." And she would say, "Well, I think it does. Well, we're the ones actually creating. We're creating the data sets, and this is incorrect." She's like, "Oh, really? I'm going to tell everyone what you said." And I'm like, "Well, okay, you're fired." And she's like, "What?"
She's expecting some kind of apology.
Yeah,
classic millennial.
Well, you're not the one putting it in.
No,
so.
This is not how I thought this would end up.
Oh, they're looking for any reason.
The good news is she'd probably make more unemployed right now than working. So that's a silver lining.
Darling of the left.
You non-contributing hooligans and other news.
Geographist.
Pooping.
Pooping.
I was saying popping in public is now a crime in North Idaho. It's pooping, though.
Oh.
It's not popping.
Popping.
There's just one guy with a Pringles can. Like, the fun was about to not stop.
There's a gal on TikTok like, oh, no, I can't. Yeah. Sorry.
Can I lock it still? You can lock it, but I got to set up the lock with the pot. It's like, kind of like a jab. Like, pop, 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 lock, 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 lock.
Pop has to proceed.
I don't know. Is this the pop and this is the
lock?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Which way?
Cultural differences.
They know.
In other news, pooping in public is now a crime.
Yes.
I was looking away because the camera is doing this.
It's
smiling at me. Pooping in crime is now a crime in North Idaho in a town. So a recent string of calls. This comes from KTVB. That's a real thing. Recent string of calls were made to Bonners Ferry Police reporting that residents were relieving themselves in public spaces.
Huh.
Bonner's Ferry city attorney, Andrew K. Pluitt, said most of the incidents were intentional, almost right. like a punishment for the city closing public restrooms. It's angry defecating.
Yes, how do you angry poop?
It's pooping with malicious intent.
You know what? If there was a cause I was going to get behind, besides saving you all the time, it would be making sure that this First Amendment right to protest with poop continues.
Yes. You could do that.
They're admitting it. It's a statement. It's a statement protest. Against the What's tyranny the of government.
Do they need to determine the mens rea behind pooping?
Yeah, they do. They need to figure how much did they grunt? Were they smiling while they did it?
Defecation.
Eyebrow angle.
There's a lot of
there's a lot of there.
It goes on to say the calls became so frequent that the city council decided to create the ordinance because current statutes do not cover defecation. Oh. In public. So in doing so, Bonner's Ferry will, they're going to serve as sort of an experiment of the new policy with other counties watching closely, most notably including neighboring Schittsburg.
Wow. Makes sense. They've been like, how do we deal with this problem?
How do we? And it was like, we're just going to outlaw shitting in public. You can do that?
Exactly. It's like, how do you not have regulations governing this?
Our founder, George Schittsburg, made that a tenet of this town.
You know, like the city manager of San Francisco's like, outlaw it. Not going to matter.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
They're like, I'm never using legal Zoom again, dadgummit.
Welcome
didn't
to
have
hell.
That for the city documents.
What's next? Banning people with verifiable HIV from donating blood?
These people.
A Georgia man, by the way, and that's how you know it's a state, because otherwise it would be Georgian, and they would be annexed by Russia.
Yeah.
And I don't know what annex means, but it sounds severe. A Georgia man was caught having sex with a dead woman outside of a shelter.
Wow.
Don't react. You knew this story anyway. Yeah. Deputies found this comes from Fox 5 Atlanta. Deputies found the man in the middle of the act before discovering the woman had been deceased for some time.
Are we sure this is not Florida?
Georgia, you just had to reopen first. This is what you get, Georgia. Damn it, this is what you get. Now, it should be noted, though, that while in Georgia, they've been, of course, among the first to ease social distancing guidelines, sex with dead bodies is still frowned upon.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that's just our guidelines for you.
No new laws need to be passed on that one?
Don't worry, Uncle Steven's got your back. Sex with dead bodies.
Keeping you up to date.
Is still frowned upon. So
you imagine that phone call to the attorney? What are you in for? Well, had sex with a dead lady.
Oh, you too.
Even if,
how do you defend that?
Even on the green
she was
mile,
alive when
with
I
the
started.
Most hardened, violent, murdering criminals, they would hear that story and just shift in their seats.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then finally, a tarot card reader, this is at Huffington Post, and I just had to find a way to include it, shared some of her experiences during the pandemic. This is a whole op-ed, which I don't know why Huffington Post is still a thing. Yeah. Now, you know what people need right now? The opinion of tarot card readers. Okay. She said that mostly people are seeking guidance over love and money during the lockdown, and they crave human contact, which is hard to overcome sometimes through Zoom, which is showing that COVID really has touched everyone. Now with charlatans, television preachers, and salesmen of actual snake oil relegated to online super chats.
Step right up, step right up. This oil of viper shall quell whatever ails you, from rheumatism to melancholia. I guarantee it. Ebenezer 44 asks, will this help with your rickets? Why, it will positively cure it. What are rickets, is what you will be asking me after you try my oil. Why, thank you for such generosity, Jedediah 56. 80 pieces of silver, oh my, I know what you're after.
Oh,
jeez. It's sad, really.
To evolve so quickly. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Who says capitalism needs bounds?
There ain't room enough in this town for the four of our nuts.
Oh.
That's good. I just have one. Oh, okay.
Nice.
Three's a crowd. Well, who's a trivia contest winner, by the way, from last
Trivia contest winner is Renee at Bush 69 Renee.
Wow, so I can't believe that's an actual person.
She correctly identified the ISIS representative as our first guest on the morning show.
Yeah.
Who picked that screen name?
Hey,
there's got to be somebody else who won.
Wait, Renee. We're giving Cenk another trivia win. We fell for this last time.
He knows the show so well.
Yeah. He's very good with the screen names. And you know, it's not that hard to screen. Just check for a Hotmail address.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's Cenk. He still uses Hotmail.
We owe everybody an apology who's watching right now.
I don't.
No apologies.
Just Gerald.
But, you know, I don't
because Donald Trump doesn't. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Donald Trump, like, ever apologized, since Ted Cruz is it, do you think he ever apologized to Ted Cruz for telling him that his dad was involved in assassinating
killing JFK? I'm confident they had, I can only imagine it was a very awkward conversation, every conversation since.
I just, exactly, it's, because they're friends, like, those are pretty severe.
It's pretty bad.
Ted, I will come to work for you if you admit that you were wrong about my dad and JFK. You're like, well, I didn't say it. Someone else was telling me that. Yeah, I didn't say it. Right. I said someone told me that my dad did not kill JFK. Yeah. Okay, listen, you're right. Then I'll tell that guy he's wrong. I will tell the person who told me that,
pass along the information,
that he is wrong.
If I walk this back, I look like an idiot.
Yes. Let me tell you, okay? They smell blood and they swarm. I would publicly say that Heidi Cruz has a good face, but that would be bad for you.
I made mistakes. You made mistakes.
We both made mistakes. Okay. Let's not spend time rehashing the past about whose face looks like what, whose dad killed who. Let's go back to meeting in America.
So awkward.
And Senator Cruz says, okay.
Oh, I love it.
I hope we still get good guests for justice.
Hi, Senator Cruz.
Yeah, hey. Love ya. The thing is, I think that's actually what it went like.
100% accurate.
This is the news portion of the show. Right.
Okay, so let's talk about Mike Flynn. I know Gerald's been following it really closely.
I have
been following it closely, and I will tell you, I don't care. I have that I don't care. I have fatigue in the sense that when this happened with Russia, I was always saying, all right, after the first 2 months, I said, this isn't going to go anywhere.
Right.
It's a crock. They're going to keep trotting out new information that's inconsequential. He'll probably be impeached. It won't go to the Senate. Nothing will happen. In this case, sure, Obama did horrible stuff. Do I think he's going to be charged? No.
Right.
No, where's it going to go? So let's just give you what you need to know so you understand the corruption at play. That being said, you don't need to always know every single new development because it gets to the point where you're so granular, it's hard to understand the scope of it. Here's the scope of it. An outgoing administration spied and used the FBI as a political arm to try and get a man in jail.
Which should scare the hell out of most everybody.
It should scare the hell out of most everybody. Let me give you a little more info now. The Justice Department, so they obviously, you know, they dropped the charges against Michael Flynn. Mm-hmm. And now the attention is turned to how Barack Obama and the outgoing administration, how they sort of unfairly, or some people allege, illegally targeted Trump's administration. So, of course, you have people on the left in the media, basically everyone outside of here and some radio shows, reporting on this. The whole thing, like I said, the whole umbrella, which is a real disservice to Americans, as a conspiracy theory.
It's so disappointing to look at what we're seeing from right-wing media these days, where there's such an obsession.
He's so bad
with
they have
the
to put other news people
and
behind
these,
him.
Revelations about the Russia probe.
Trust
and
us as more.
Real people.
Flynn. Keep watching, please.
They're treating the Michael Flynn story like it's a bigger deal than
the deaths of 2,000
Don't you
wish you were watching Poppy Harlow right now?
When the president called
put
the Fox
back.
And Friends the other morning, Friday morning, right before the unemployment rate numbers came out, he talked about the Flynn case for 20 minutes.
Those happy days are here again. With a brand new conspiracy that Trump and Fox News are calling Obamagate.
Some terrible things happened and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again. And you'll be seeing what's going on over the coming weeks. And I wish you'd write honestly about it, but unfortunately, you choose not to do so.
We'll see what happens. You'll see what it is. It's coming out in the next few weeks. You know what it is. I don't. Can you tell us?
I can't, actually. Obamagate is a phrase that
I don't know what you're talking about.
Seems to have no meaning except to tag his predecessor with some very nebulous scandal.
By the way, before you accuse me of fake news, that last guy was actually a character Andy Kindler is working, an anti-Semitic character for Upright Citizens Brigade.
Okay, that's cool. So that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I can't tell you. So
I do enjoy the lowering of the bar of journalism. Yeah. Never have I ever thought that I could be so successful in journalism by just going, well, do you know? No, I don't know.
It's literally your job to know.
Tonight at 9 o'clock, none of us know.
Seems that information would have made it through with my executive producer, senior producer, line producer, and or booker, but apparently we're all So,
what's going on?
I'm just
Mika
angry
Brzezinski.
That Trump is going after my husband, so I had to do this segment.
You think they might want to report? Maybe do some investigation, news? Figure out what it is?
No, they'll just bag on James O'Keefe when he does it. So, and then Mika's calling Twitter. Did you see that yesterday?
I'm She's calling the manager.
You need to ban Donald Trump, and I am going to make sure. I'm going to make some calls. Okay.
She said she was going to call the manager on Twitter. Like, I think she actually used
that word. Said that.
I'm going to call the manager.
Yeah. What? She called him Garcon.
We had, like, an Applebee's where you call the manager
Mr. Garcon Dorsey to you. You don't call him Garcon. Is Mark Zuckerberg, hey you, Mika? So let's go through this. Since they're so puzzled, let's kind of lay out the timeline. The Obama era FBI, right? They were out to get Flynn from the beginning.
Yep.
They listened to his phone calls while he was on vacation, which would later be used in really what amounts to a perjury trap. The goal was getting Flynn to be fired or to be imprisoned. So Bill Priestep, who's a doctor, is a doctor, boss of stroke.
Yeah.
Struzuk.
I was about to say, how do you pronounce it? Struzuk.
I don't know. That's why I don't trust him.
If anybody's a Russian agent, it's him.
The notes read, what is our goal, truth slash admission, to get him or to get him to lie so we can prosecute or get him fired, question mark. Now, I understand that's been shared out of context, and they've tried to counter-argue that. So let's go on down the list. The FBI, they were moving to close the investigation early 2017 because they didn't find anything. And then Pete Stroke interviewed some people. He intervened, actually, to make sure the operation continued with the FBI. So they were going, there's nothing here, we're going to close it. Then he personally stepped in and said, no, we're going to make sure that we find something. So really, what did it amount to? That's kind of people understand that timeline?
Yeah, the basically
tapping calls, what they were doing with Flynn, and it amounted to what? Okay, two lies, that he didn't actually ask the Russian ambassador to refrain, to not respond to sanctions that were being imposed by Barack Obama. And then he said that he only asked how Russia would vote on a resolution that involved Israel, but apparently he actually asked them to vote against or delay the resolution, which, by the way, is not entirely outside the realm of his job. But
that's something that he's supposed to be doing. And so the FBI is collecting all of this data. By the way, this is the same Strzok guy who texts Lisa Page, right, if you guys remember when all that stuff came out. No. Referring to Donald Trump becoming president. No, we will stop it.
Yeah.
Right. So this guy has obvious bias going back. He keeps the case open.
He's also really
FBI,
bad at stopping things.
He is very
don't put him in goaltending
at all. Stop anything. he basically said, look, I know you guys are closing this case, and the FBI was like, they were like, hey, we're closing this. There's no good information here for us to continue. We have to stop legally at this point. If there's any new information, we will evaluate it then to see if we need to open it. He's like, he sends them a text that day. If you haven't closed it, don't.
Right.
Right. And keeps this thing open. You telling me that guy doesn't have bias? Come on.
That should terrify Americans.
Is this a middle school, like, you know, the ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend that's like, no, let's just give it one more chance, guys. Like, I'm sure we can find love or liability here. Just keep it open. Just keep it open. Yeah. Just keep it open.
You have to remember what all of this came from was the whole Russian investigation. They were saying Russia meddled with the election. The Obama administration, in retaliation for them dumping all of Hillary's emails, essentially, put sanctions on them, kicked out 35 of their people, and then closed down two of their like vacationing places in the United States for some of their employees.
Right.
And that's what he was talking to the ambassador about. It's like, hey, don't respond to those guys. Like, there's no evidence for this. We'll do a different thing when we get in.
Shut down the vacation. You would have caught more criminals if you did
places,
that with the Cardinals. Just shut down their beach houses. Yeah. You'll have more to prosecute.
It was weird. It's like, this is for their ambassadors and also for
McCarrick, can we have a word with you for a second?
Spies.
Oh, crap. By the way, hit the notification bell if you're subscribed, because subscriptions don't mean a whole lot, and hit all notifications. Of course, there are new videos every day. We do the Thursday live stream at 8 p.m. Eastern, and do join Mug Club, letterscredit.com/mugclub, because it's the only way we're supported. We don't have a $100 million deal with Spotify, but good for you, Rogan.
And as the guy with the face for radio podcast, I'm so much better on the podcast.
Oh, stop it. You're looking adorable.
Good. Whenever
Except
you smile,
well,
awesome
he got a haircut, though, and he got a little bit of color, so now
illegal.
He looks a little Malaysian. Looks a little darker.
I was going to say Nepalese, but I'll go Malaysian.
Okay.
Fine.
I don't know enough about the Nepalese.
Call the police. You got a haircut.
Here's. Let's keep going down the list. This is so boring. I'm sorry. agents didn't even
at least
think
it's not
that.
COVID.
If you think, well, you
let's
think maybe Flynn was lying.
Right.
Agents didn't think Flynn was lying.
Nope.
In 2017, Comey testified the interviewing agents that Flynn had not made intentional misstatements, right? That they had concluded these guys testified. Comey, anytime he shows up, people just go, shit. And I used to feel bad for him because I thought he was hated by the left and he was hated by the right. But Comey, you've earned this.
Yeah, he screwed up in every way possible, I think.
Then Comey later denied this, but Washington Post even fact-checked him on it. Whatever it is. They do Pinocchio's or the Truth Meters? Yeah, Washington Post. And you know they really didn't want
to. They're like, we have to do
that
this.
That was really hard for them. They're like, it's a lie, but can we hit fall? It hurts. It burns.
We'll write a terrible story. Wait, we always do that.
And you know, the key part of that is that the media, the entire story there is based on denying what Comey said was just missed recollections as opposed to intentional lies. Because every time it's reported about Flynn, it's there's no acknowledgement that the person investigating, a person who is typically on their side when it comes to Trump or Trump officials, said, no, I just thought it was a mistake, right? It wasn't, it, you know, he does a lot of things, and he didn't remember that particular thing. Right. It wasn't an intentional lie, but the story that still is remembered over and over again, or at least posited or asserted, is, oh, it was an intentional lie. He was intentionally covering it up. Or they just don't even get to the lies part at all. They just blaring headline, ignore the substance.
Which also, I would ask you, more indicative of someone who doesn't really think they're being criminally investigated on a serious level, misremembering. Yeah. Because people get their stories airtight when they're trying to proactively lie. It's not like, I don't know. I think I turned the iron off. I don't know. Guilty, you know?
Yeah. The house burned down. Sorry about that.
So, yeah, you have done that.
Just twice.
Here's another one. Flynn, by the way. People, and this was my primary question early on.
Big.
And I asked Donald Trump Jr. when we were doing the CNN stream. Because at this point, we didn't have all of the information.
Right.
I said, okay, if he is innocent, why did the guy plead guilty? And you know this probably. People don't always plead guilty because they're guilty.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, the entire system is set up to be an adversarial system.
Right.
So the prosecutors are literally, their job is to be aggressive in doing what they're doing to achieve the end, right?
Right.
And then by the same point, you know, defense attorneys have to do the same thing. And when you're, you know, I don't do criminal law, but when you're, the same thing applies both civil and criminal. If you are trying to get to an end and there's going to be a worse harm than pleading guilty, people plead guilty all the time,
right?
Even if they hadn't done that particular act that they're accused of, or maybe they did something, you know, related but not as gross of a violation of that.
Like they did leave the ironing on and they don't want to pay the piper.
Sure.
So Flynn,
maybe they left the iron on, but someone else was smoking in bed, right? I mean, he's be like, I did, but that wasn't actually what led. But fine,
or eating in bed.
Say I did.
And that's how they took out the mamas and the papas. It's a tragedy.
Oh my god.
Too soon and too heavy.
Not again.
So Flynn did plead. Would we say that's severe in that they threatened to go after Flynn's son? Because that's why he pled guilty.
Yeah, exactly.
So they wouldn't prosecute his son.
Right. And so this is a coercive action, right? So at this point, you can really paint make the case and kind of paint this picture that the FBI has gone further than they should have gone. And the only way to make any of this seem legitimate is to keep applying pressure and get him to plead guilty. Because at that point, he's pled guilty, he's convicted, that's all that we need to put in the headline. You can put FBI did something wrong, but wait, well, this guy pled guilty, so they were right, so it's okay. It's not okay. They broke their own rules in doing this, and they broke the law doing this, right? You can't force somebody by coercion to plead guilty in a case like this when you shouldn't have been investigating him in the first place.
Oh, by the way.
And say it's okay.
Speaking of breaking the
law. You can't do that, but you can't say it's okay.
I need to say, I completely forgot. Speaking of breaking the law, we will not be in Lansing, Michigan, in the state capitol on Friday. I'll let the cat out of the bag. What we were planning all along was we were going to actually go offer haircuts for free for donations, but we were going to properly social distance. So we had shears on pool cues, and we had clippers on a broomstick.
Did you practice?
And a super soaker. No. And then I had a megaphone for small talk, but then the Michigan barbers, all concerned about their livelihoods, did a protest yesterday that was far less funny, and they only got some tickets, so we couldn't do it. We'll actually do a segment on it next week where you can showcase all your props.
I built all that stuff.
So much work, tickets booked. Oh, what a week. Let's go, let's finalize up the Flynn thing so I never have to talk about it again. So Biden, by the way, this is also important because this man is running for president. And this is obviously,
ostensibly,
it's concerning, along with sniffing small children.
Yeah.
For me.
Yes.
That's a section of the worry. That's, like, the first.
That's a personal thing,
by the way.
You do you. But when I have the choice between someone who sniffs small children and asks for a minute alone with them and one who does not, personal preference, I choose the one who doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
You choose to
call me
right.
old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Narrow-minded.
That's prejudice.
Yes. Wow.
Prejudice. Yeah.
I am, you know what? It's a blind spot for me, and I'm working on it. I am a little close-minded when it comes to people who repeatedly sniff children.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a close-handed issue for me.
It really is.
Used to be abortion. It's okay. Now it's sniffing kids.
Yeah.
Sorry, Biden.
You have to. Wow. You change over time.
The forecast does not look good. So Joe Biden, Vice President, former Vice President Joe Biden, and early onset dementia example, has said repeatedly that he knew nothing about the Flynn investigation.
So what did you know about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn, and was there anything improper done?
I know nothing about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn, number one. Number two, this is all about diversion. I was aware that they asked for an investigation, but that's all I know about it, and I don't think anything else.
That, by the way, there's no follow-up. He just said, I don't think anything else.
Ever.
He's like, please end the interview. That's all I have
to
say.
I'm not capable.
I don't have anything.
His handler's like,
I thought no this was words. Going to be a one-question interview, and I would like to think something else, but I can't. But I can't think anything else.
The sad part is he really just wanted, you know how you're highly specific, right? It makes you think, like, oh, it's a lie, or it, like, seems more logistically true. But he actually just wanted to say, I don't know anything.
Yeah, I know.
It's a cry for help.
But he, instead he had, when his just some little synapses, they started firing, and so he was like, oh, wait, Hogan's Heroes? I know nothing!
There we go.
Yeah. What did you say? I said, I know nothing. Did you say you know nothing? I said nothing. You said nothing. Are you doing the guard from Hogan's Heroes? I can't think anything else.
Hogan's Heroes.
This man wants to be leader of the free world.
By the way, what he just did on camera was worse than what Flynn did.
Right. It's remarkable.
Flynn was convicted of something.
Okay. So now, by the way, in case there was some foreshadowing, it's been revealed by documents that we have. We can bring up an overlay. There's a dozen Obama officials, including Biden and CIA Director John Brennan, that they requested the unmasking of Michael Flynn and intelligence reports. So it wasn't just that they were involved or they knew. They were the ones who made the request. Yeah. Now, here's my question. I know you have a point, but here's my question, Bill, because we're kind of in this right now with the where we used to be with the Hillary Clinton emails. And a lot of people just sort of would speculate. They didn't really know.
Yeah.
When Joe Biden says, I know nothing. I know nothing? And now we verifiably can see that he was actually the one who requested it. What ramifications are there, any, if any, criminally?
None.
None?
Probably none. None.
Well, let me explain let me explain why there's none criminally, because he wasn't under oath there.
Right.
You know, if you were going to go the perjury route, or, you know, could he have been questioned about it? But in terms of an actual criminal penalty, I mean, one, no one's listening to it. Was it Stephanopoulos that was asking the question?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, nobody's watching that anyway. But it doesn't have the place, right? If you're going to – there are different penalties for telling a lie outside of a court or under not under oath than there is under oath, for the very reason being perjury. But that's not to say that there can't still be consequences later. Like, if he were ever to show up to a debate, you know, if he were to remember anything.
But if he were to say what he just said under oath, would it be a problem?
That would be a big problem.
Let's get him under oath. He's not going to remember that shit.
No. He'll do it again. He'll like,
show
son of a gun.
In front of a jury, be like, I know nothing. But we've seen this act before. Guilty. But you know, I should have thought something else.
But you know exactly what's going to happen is he's going to start doing some of the things that he's complaining about Trump doing, right? He's going to say, well, you're not coming to I can't come testify. I'm busy with other things. No, can't open my records. Just like with Tara Reid, right? He's like, no, you know, I know that I gave all of these records to a university, so they're already not, you know, completely private, but I don't want anyone else looking. God forbid we actually look at the allegations.
Sir, you didn't send your record. You just sent a Dexter's Lab booklet of scratch and sniff stickers.
He's like, I didn't mean to send that. Please send them back.
Oh, no, the DD page. Oh. Let me put that back.
Put that one back. So, in my opinion, here's the reason that we should all care about this. The media is focusing on the
wrong
thing.
That was so disgusting.
I'm sorry. I tried to move on as though nothing happened.
I'm trying to turn away from the camera's giving me this weird wavy vertigo. So
the media is focusing on this, saying it's some conspiracy theory, and they're saying it's because of the unmasking. And so every article that you read right now is talking about, unmasking happens thousands of times. Okay, that's true. You know, people do have unmasking requests all the time. Fine. They also say, the email that Rice sent after the meeting with Obama is totally normal. Okay, well, that's fine. That's not where my problem is. My problem is in them continuing the investigation after they knew that there was nothing there, right? So that changes into something else. And the reason that I say it's like something else, like spying or something like that, people throw that out there. I don't know what it is, but I know this. When Hillary Clinton was being warned by the FBI, they had a meeting with her to say, hey, somebody's trying to actively hack into your emails and get this information out. They tried they warned her, right? Mm-hmm. They would brief her to stop that. If Donald Trump's administration was being compromised by Russia and Russian agents, don't you think that they should go meet with Donald Trump and say, hey, somebody is trying to recruit assets within the U.S. government in your administration. You have to be careful. They never had that meeting.
I'll be honest. I listened to maybe 30% of what you just said.
That's okay. That's okay. That's a big deal, though, right?
Because it
shows a pattern of behavior.
I listened to 100%.
Here's the other thing. And they pulled this out in the Senate Judiciary Committee meeting.
Please make it interesting.
It will be interesting.
You can see his eyelids. Just.
They went to brief Hillary Clinton on a situation, and they went to brief Donald Trump on a situation.
I follow.
They did not send somebody to brief the Trump administration.
Wait, you just said they sent or did they not send?
They did. But the person that they sent was actually there to spy on them, and he said it. He said, I went there to determine if there was anything else going on, not to brief these
Did
guys.
Did someone pass There's out of 31 so flavors things. Last night?
Yeah, exactly.
Was it There's Peter so many, Strunk or Peter
It was not
Gabriel.
Peter Strunk. Oh. It was definitely not. So,
Did this
anyway,
all happen in just, your eyes?
They did.
What is going on here? No, here's, and that is a valid point. Here's what
These
I was
These are
saying.
All really crappy
don't,
things.
Yeah, don't be like me. Don't be like, now the reason I'm exhausted with it is because we work in this sphere. And yeah. and really, you could probably take about three pieces of information that we just, and you would have enough of the picture. And this is why the media focuses on these things, for example. This is exactly why you see Brian Stelter after nothing but Russian collusion for months, really for the entire administration. You're talking about years. I'm actually underplaying it by saying months. And now saying with coronavirus, after impeachment didn't stick, the Republicans are obsessed with Russia. Why don't you move on? That's my Brian Stelter.
Yes, that's me,
And you're saying like Richard Simmons?
Yeah.
Can you puff out your cheeks enough. A little more?
No, I can't. I mean, maybe I'll be more swollen
after this.
Can you
gain 200 pounds?
I'm not a method actor, and I'm not that committed to this show.
Oh. Hey. Good to know where the line is.
About like Brian Stelter. About as committed as Brian Stelter. No, he goes out, and they talk about this, and they go, oh, now we want to distract people with Russia. For the longest time, they wanted to keep this going to get as granular as possible because they know you can't keep track of it. They know it's exhausting, and they know that most Americans want to get a snapshot, want to get a macro picture, and I don't mean that you shouldn't be informed. Of course you should inform yourself. You should get as granular as you can. You should be as informed as possible, but there's a lot of information out there that is unnecessary because it's either completely untrue, as we've seen with the Mike Flynn case. In other words, everything that we knew about Mike Flynn up until the last month, pretty much false.
Pretty wrong.
And it was drip, 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 like a Chinese water torture for a long time to the point where you go, well, we must accept it as true. And then you get tired and you're not paying attention anymore. And unless there was someone like a Barr here to kind of reveal this, you would have gone on your merry way thinking that Flynn was guilty of borderline treason. Yeah. And it's not true. That's by design. And unfortunately, we have a 24-hour cable news cycle with talentless fat bags like Brian Stelter who focus on nothing but this precisely because they want to do the opposite of their job description. Brian Stelter, Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper, they focused on Mike Flynn and Russia, Russia, Russia for 2 years, and they want you to forget about it now as they move on to inflated coronavirus death rates, bringing on non-scientists and hosting town halls with Greta, not because they are trying to fulfill their journalistic obligations in informing you, but precisely because they do not want you informed. And am I attributing motive here? Yeah, I am. After I rarely do that. After several years of what we now know to be verifiable lies, and now it's just ignore that, ignore what's behind the curtain. No, I understand how you can get overwhelmed. Here's what's not overwhelming. Here's something that I can say confidently, and you don't need to worry about getting wrong. Everything they said for 2 years, wrong or lies. Lies or wrong. Take your pick. We're going to have Gavin McInnes on right after this.
There it is again. So strong.
Watch this and more at our other channel. Crowder Bits.
So healthcare and overtime at 2.5?
3.5 in dental.
We can do that.
We did it, guys.
If you're listening on audio, you're probably wondering what's going on. If you're not listening on audio, subscribe at SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts.
Hello, my name's QBG. And did you know that itty-bitty microscopic creatures crawl all over your everyday objects? Mm-hmm. They're on your phones, on your computers, and even on your doorknobs. These germs can hurt you. They can make you sick. You know what makes me sick? China man. He made all them germs. What is it now, Jerry? Oh, so you're telling me they didn't make all the germs? Not racist at all, it's a fact. Now, all you have to do to keep the germs away is to think of these three steps every day. Wash your hands. Keep your area tidy and clean. And thirdly, stay away from the Chinaman. Now don't be no fool. Stay away from the Wu Flu.
That's for my next guest because he likes doing a little bit of boxing.
Really?
I said last time when he was on, I realized he's what he does is real boxing. He actually does. You know, he actually is pretty impressive to watch. But when he's sitting down, it becomes very, like, old lady-ish because it can't put his hips into it. And he's got good hips. That's the point of this intro. He's got fantastic hips. You can follow him, of course, and watch his show. It's Get Off My Lawn at censored.tv. That's censored.tv. You know him. He's been on the show quite a bit. You love him. Gavin McInnes, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Whoa, that was higher energy than I was expecting.
Coming in hot.
I'm Big Ed.
What? You're Big
Ed? From 90 Day Fiancé?
Oh, I've not seen that show. You were just telling me off air that I was gay for having watched Life of Pi. You watched 90 Day Fiancé?
Yeah, that's a pull, yeah.
What is this? What is this show? Explain it to me.
Oh, it's just these I mean, imagine how much of a loser you'd have to be to go to the other end of the world, like Serbia, to get laid.
Yeah.
It's these pathetic losers with some foreign bride they're trying to seduce or marry. And they're obviously 100% of the crap countries people, they're trying to get citizenship.
Right.
And you're just watching this catastrophe unfold with these losers.
Now,
there it is.
You guys are saying.
They've got
okay,
overlays.
So you have the control out to override and send us horrible overlays.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's an actual human being.
Yeah.
That's a real person.
First thing the bride said was, you're ugly.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's a one.
That is.
Maybe a 0.5.
Really unfortunate. That looks like a screenshot from Total Recall. That's real. Let me guess. Is it TLC?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. I watched my wife. What was the one where she watched? Your friend was on it. There, audio, or you never. Someone here knew someone who was on it.
Yeah. Married at First Sight.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah, I didn't let the cat out of the bag.
Instantly get married.
Yeah. Married at First Sight. My wife watched it, and I saw So I don't really watch TLC, but I said I'll give this a shot. And there was a preview for another show, and there were midgets on a speedboat, and one pushed the other a black midget into the water, and she went.
They're contractually obligated to do that, though.
What was that, Gavin?
That's good luck. You see a black midget jump in the water.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that midgets could swim. That was a thing. I thought it was like.
What?
I thought it was. Yeah. I mean, come
they
on.
They have small arms.
Let's take the extreme example, right? You've got Phelps with a wingspan like an albatross and size 17 feet, and then Vern Troyer. Like, there's a middle ground, but I thought the closer you were to midget, I thought it'd be very difficult, you know, to swim.
Alligators can swim, so obviously someone with alligator arms can swim too.
Okay.
That would be relevant if Vern Troyer had a giant reptilian tail. Because
say
that's.
Again, you really get me.
I'm just thinking of the mechanics. You know, they need a rudder. What's the rudder if you don't have limbs?
Or true, you'd have those weird little baby butt cheeks.
That's very insensitive. So, Gavin McInnes, you are in the kind of you're in the epicenter here of the COVID going on. How are you staying safe on the Eastern Seaboard?
I by existing. This whole thing is a myth. We're in Manhattan right now. It's a ghost town. There's just construction workers and homeless people. And I'm walking around going, you're all being lied to. Go back to work.
Right.
I think the death toll is more like 50K, which is a pretty normal flu season. I don't think masks help. I think they do more damage. I think the success rate is a 99.7, higher for guys like me who drink a bottle of bourbon a day. This is pathetic. I'm embarrassed for Americans right now.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. As an American. Wait, did you just say that bourbon makes you have a higher success rate?
That's my personal medical theory.
Okay, all right. You just douse it. I do. Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because we've talked about that quite a bit. And from the beginning, we talked about the death rates that are being over-tallied. And, of course, Dr. Birx, who, by the way, I don't know if you know this, when they say trust the experts, the actual practicing physician, once upon a time, Dr. Birx, is not amongst them. Have you heard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fauci hasn't practiced medicine in 40 years.
Right.
But we have to listen to these. We have to ignore practicing physicians. And when you talk to them, Fleckus had a great thing in an interview the other day where the doctor said, No pharmacy has ever called me about a prescription in my 30 years of practicing. I've been prescribing hydroxychloroquine for a long time. It's an anti-malarial drug, as everyone knows. And only in the past, like, couple months do I get calls every time I prescribe it questioning my prescription from some guy who works at Walgreens. It's like, none of your business.
Yeah, well, he also moonlights as a blogger for Salon. Yeah. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. It is remarkable. They came out this week and said, we think Donald Trump's lying. There's no way he's taking hydroxychloroquine. Like, it's arsenic.
Yeah. It's, you know, when I was a single man, we used to go to the STD place, and they would put a cotton swab down your penis and pull it out, and it's the most painful thing imaginable. So what we would do is we just say, hey, I had sex with a virgin, and she has gonorrhea, so I have it. And we didn't know if we had gonorrhea or not. They just give you all the pills. You take them because there's no side effects. So take hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, okay, well, hold on a second. First off, why would you feel the need to preface it with, I had sex with a virgin, and how does a virgin get gonorrhea? And how does the if it's like a Q-tip, how does it not unravel in the wiener hole?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a strong cotton thing, and it's on a stick of wood. It's not a skinny Q-tip. It's okay. It's like a pencil almost. And the story is, the lie is, you might have chlamydia. I had sex with a virgin. She's no longer a virgin, but she had never slept with anyone before or since, and she has the disease, so we don't have to do the test. Just give me the pills.
Okay. All right. I see. So really,
there's
nothing
wrong with taking hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, well, it is. It's remarkable to me that people have really, I think they've really wanted to jump on it, of course, because Donald Trump has mentioned it. And I think you're being clear here. There's nothing wrong with it. There's mixed success, and that's because we haven't looked at the studies, like with any other drug, where it can be successful depending on when you use it. Is it successful prophylactically? Is it successful, but not until you get to the point of being on ventilators? There's been a pretty wide spectrum with the studies, but it's interesting that, again, this is the thing to me that is most telling. They really do pick and choose when they care about science, the left, and that can mean the Young Turks, Brian Stelter, Anderson Cooper. I want to be very clear. They go, oh, this study from Brazil that shows that it doesn't work. Well, hold on a second. They were using a high dose, and they didn't account for people with heart conditions, which should already be accounted for when prescribing the drug. And they go, well, Fauci's an expert. What about Dr. Birx, who thinks death tolls are overcounted by 25%, which has been corroborated by Colorado, Pennsylvania, everywhere they've actually tried to look at these rates and separate death from the likelihood of death from COVID. She's right, but she's not an expert. So it's remarkable to me, the picking and choosing of science. Do you think that there's a silver lining here, and that maybe hopefully in Manhattan, in Texas, everyone here gets it. But in Manhattan, they're going to go, oh, wait a second. Science is flawless in theory, but the human beings who apply it are not. I'm hoping that comes of this.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of silver lining. I mean, yes, it has been the tyranny of the Karens, especially in the suburbs where I live.
Yeah.
But there's a million pluses here. And the biggest one is people are seeing how malicious the DNC is and how immoral they are. And the lockdown is being associated with the DNC. And that's good for Trump in November, because real Americans are sick of this. And it's only the posh elites who can afford to stay home and not work that are supporting this. So they politicized it, but then they chose the wrong side. And that was a huge blunder.
Well, it's interesting because I know that you've made it a point, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you don't talk about it a whole lot on your show. And I understand why. It's unfortunately becomes white noise. But do you think at this point it probably behooves conservatives to talk about it more going into election, because we don't want people to forget it at this point, since they've so overplayed their hand?
Yeah, my job is entertainment too. Right. And it's not entertaining to talk about it all the time. I've said my numbers. I've said what I believe. I had John Lott on the show the other day. We broke it all down. And then we move on to that NASA discovered a parallel universe where time goes backwards. That's more stimulating to me. Whoa. But I think the DNC's plan is to keep us indoors until November so we do mail-in ballots.
Yes.
That's the stupidest plan. Maybe if it was August right now, you might have a hope in hell.
Yeah.
But to want to keep us there for five more months?
Well, they already canceled in Michigan. They already canceled 4th of July fireworks in a town. When I was there last month, they hadn't had a case of COVID in 2 weeks. Not a death. This county hadn't had a case in 2 weeks, and they canceled the 4th of July fireworks. So at a certain point, I just go, oh, hold on a second. At what point are we going to say, all right, you're the party who's anti-science. Not a single case, let alone a death. You're canceling 4th of July fireworks where it's going to be sunny and open air and it's a sparsely populated county. I do hope that, I think it started out with Democrats saying, remember this in November, remember this in November. And now we are saying, yeah, remember this in November. Yeah.
Well, I knew, and another thing that's going to happen is this summer, it's going to vanish with the heat, and there's going to be a massive surge in the economy because people are going to be going out, partying, spending like crazy. So by the time November comes, the economy will be booming again. Trump is going to win in a landslide.
Yeah. Well, have you focused on the polling a lot or kind of dove into that yet?
Well, I think we learned about how inaccurate polls are.
Well,
that's
true. Yeah, that's remember they used to have the bumper stickers, trust Nate Silver. Where'd they go?
What was Hillary Clinton in the New York Times? A 99% chance of winning?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It was so much fun. We just, that night when we did the election stream, we just kept tuning into the Young Turks to gradually watch the meltdown. And it just, we'd flip back in and the faces would just change. It started kind of like this, and it was like a different emoji. But I say taking that into account, when you look at the polling nationally, Biden and Donald Trump. Biden is about a 4-point lead. And they do account for the fact that, well, don't account for, but they have mentioned it, even at Politico and I think Washington Post or maybe Gallup, they've said, listen, typically Democrats like Joe Biden is likely to be performing 4 to 5 points better because that's historically been the case with registered voters, as included in this poll, versus likely voters. So that means they're within the margin of error nationally right now. But in the swing states where it counts, it's not even close. And this is what really stood out to me. According to the recent Gallup poll, it's Biden, Trump, 49 to 46, which is a dead heat. Can you remember any president, any Republican candidate in your lifetime who was split with people under the age of 45? I can't.
No. That's what's so unique about him. He's not really Republican.
Right.
He's just like anti-elite, anti-establishment. So he pulls in a lot of Zoomers. It's millennials that are annoying, by the way. I think the Zoomers are a new generation, and they're not falling for all this crap.
Yeah, I think I don't think they're saddled with as much guilt as millennials.
Yeah, yeah, they've seen their sisters go $250,000 in debt for some dumb degree, and where they learn fake words like intersectionality. And
right.
They go, I'm not falling for that scam. My sister's screwed.
Right. Yeah. And of course, right now we should forgive all student debt, just like rent with the coronavirus. It is. This is when it's like, forgive rent. You know this. I mean, you're a business person. You started up a lot of ventures. I don't know if you've worked in real estate. It's like, well, a second. Yeah. Someone is making a payment here. Someone owns the building. Like there is an ending point where you close the books and someone foots the bill. It's amazing that there's half the country. They don't even consider it.
Well, they seem to think that the guy who owns the building has paid it all off and is just getting all this gravy that's just going in a big pile of cash like the dragon in Lord of the Rings. He has a mortgage. Sometimes he's even sold off the mortgage to someone else. The rent isn't even going through him anymore.
Right.
You can't just erase debt, dummies. That's not how it works. And you can't print more money either.
They don't realize that they are Michael Keaton in Pacific Heights.
That's, is that another weird movie?
You ever saw Michael Keaton, Matthew Modine,
sir.
Pacific Heights? It was the rule in San. So Matthew Modine buys a townhome in San Francisco, and I can't remember who the wife is. And then Michael Keaton moves in to the bottom apartment. So like, oh, we'll make a little bit of cash. We'll be able to live upstairs. And he just destroys it. But he has squatter's rights, so he starts creating like cockroach infestations. And his thing was he used to smoke a cigarette in the film, and he would have a razor blade and twirl it between his fingers. Michael Keaton. It's actually worth watching.
So Michael Keaton's a bad guy?
He's a bad guy. Yeah. He's a tenant from hell who specifically screws people using California's squatters' rights where they can't actually evict tenants. So this was real estate anxiety, you know, before the COVID, back in the 80s.
I think the only time I can picture Michael Keaton as a bad guy is if he was serving me a tray of wine glasses.
Oh, would he serve them like this?
No, he serves them like this.
What? What is that? How is that Michael Keaton? What is that?
I think he's thinking of Michael J. Fox.
Wait, am I thinking of Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Wow.
Michael Keaton Batman.
Hey, Gav.
Michael Keaton Batman.
Michael
Got
Keaton
it,
Batman. The guy who John Lovitz ripped off with A Compulsive Liar. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Norm Macdonald had a podcast about this where you can see he just doesn't really like John. You remember John Lovitz where he would say, yeah, my girlfriend, Pamela.
Yeah, so funny.
He had entirely ripped it off from Michael Keaton, who had it in a stand-up bit where he would talk about, like, Cagney interviewing a prisoner and like, oh, yeah, see, I was down on 4th Street. Right. It was copied verbatim, and Norm blew the lid off of it on his podcast. Mm. So
you can sort of tell that when people are brutally talentless because they never do anything before or since. Like the guy who did the stakeout for Roger Stone, he said, I have a feeling that they're going to bust Roger Stone. I'm going to stake out his house. When are you going to stake out his house? Like a week before? No, at 5:30 a.m. And they show up at 5:45 a.m. And you go, wow.
Whoa, man.
Really good at stakeout, David Cordell. And he's done zero before that. And zero after, including stakeouts, and you go, you're full of poo-poo, so I don't.
When that started, based on the direction of this conversation, I thought you were referencing the Emilio Estevez / Rosie O'Donnell film vehicle Stakeout. Oh, and I was about to say, it must have been somewhat successful because there was another Stakeout, commonly known as Stakeout 2.
Yeah, I would kill to get David Shortell. That's the CNN guy who did it. He was like 25 at the time. I would kill to get him on a show with other people who do stakeouts, like Private Eyes, and they go, yeah, it takes the quickest I've ever done is 3 days, and it really sucks sitting in a car drinking coffee all the time. But it's usually about a week and a half. And then David's like, it was 15 minutes for me.
Yes. Right. It was 15 minutes. And what'd you use? I used the Zoom on my camera phone.
I had a whole crew there.
It is remarkable. Okay, listen. We're going to go to a web extended here. Again, the show is Get Off My Lawn at its censored.tv. Right, Gavin?
Yes. I got to go, though.
Hold on one second. We'll be right back with Web Extended, and it might be 2 minutes.
Watch this and more at our other channel, Crowder Bits.
I guarantee you, because myself, I said, you know what? I'm going to go get some sticky strips for the wall. I don't even have any paintings. I don't like art.
Can Steven really be trusted? Just say no to Steven Crowder and Mug Club.
Paid for by momsgainstmugclub.com.
Look at this pile of trash. Yeah, you. Look at you. You look like a sack of shit. What you need is some Louder with Crowder merch. Here. There you go. Much better. Yes, admire its beautifully made design. Love sewed in every stitch. Doesn't fix ugly, though. Get your flabby ass some merch at louderwithcrowdershop.com. And for losers who can't scrape together $69 for Mug Club, it's a great way to support the content on which you so fervently freeload. F***er faces.
That's called the drowning dance of someone who has vertigo going on and didn't want to be moving.
Wow. It's probably a good thing to add on top of that.
Sat on it and I was like the bounce, and she was like, "Oh, I'll just do this." Which, by the way, I Gavin McInnes, thank you for being on the show. There's a web extended, of course, for those who are Mug Club members, and we will not be in Lansing Friday. I apologize, but we will have a Change My Mind coming up pretty soon. Yesterday, we saw the biggest bullfrog I've ever seen in my life in our backyard. I mean, I think we have it might be on Instagram somewhere. This thing was like, I got a pool scraper to put on there, and it was actually like bowing. I was like, I had to reach down.
So hefty.
Yeah. And Betty was, of course, trying to eat it.
Oh, of course.
Sure.
And so we got her inside, and she was going nuts, destroying the blinds. And I swear to you, we got the
I want it.
We got the bullfrog out. We found a little wooded area. We put it away, kind of near a pond. Yeah. I assume that's where it's from. I don't know. People who think I'm cruel. Bullfrogs, that's about as ponds, good as I. Together. That's about as much as I care about bullfrogs.
Yeah, sure.
Put it near a general vicinity with some water, some shade. Then he's got to make his own decisions. Yeah. But he's Betty was so distraught about not being able to eat the bulldog, she cried for 2 hours. Yeah, we have video of it. It'll be up on Instagram. She cried. She went in the bathroom, lay in the towel. I was like, ma. I was like, what? Mm. And she made that bah sound. I was like, you can pronounce M's?
Wow.
So she was upset.
Good for
and then
age.
She went to bed, and while she was sleeping, was whining. Because she was still thinking about the bulldog.
Frog.
I say, bullfrog.
Bullfrog.
Although she probably would same thing if there was a bulldog around.
Sure,
she has a bulldog,
honestly,
Charlie,
yeah,
on the
Betty.
Street who she likes, but she doesn't try to eat him. She plays them. But she would have killed this bullfrog without a doubt. And it's just crazy. The prey drive is insane. So a lot of people out there say, should I get a dog of Argentino? Great dogs. Great family dogs. Super loyal. Betty is sweet, but she's an idiot. Hopper was really smart. But she's really sweet. But you do have to understand that prey drive. It is something else.
We saw how she handled that toilet paper.
Yeah.
That was serious business.
She gave that toilet paper a talking to. Yeah. So next week, by the way, no show Monday. I would come in and work, but apparently it's illegal.
It's a federal holiday.
So all that. You know, I don't know what we're going to figure out Columbus Day, but stay tuned. We will be back, of course, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. And we have a lot of special things coming on the pike that I'm pretty excited about. Lansing is not among them. But I wanted to talk about something that has been coming up quite a bit recently. And I see politicians doing this a lot, too. You see it with Biden. You see it with Trump. Mm-hmm. But you hear, how often do you hear this phrase? And I can't remember exactly where I think it might have been some ass model on Instagram. Because, you know, they do inspirational stuff.
Yeah.
But how often have you heard a phrase to this effect, like, man, I don't give up. I got grit. You know, people are like, I got grit. That's what you hear all the time. Like, people don't understand about me is one thing. I will get it done. I've got grit. And that's all well and good. But what does it really mean? Right? We hear this a whole lot. I don't give up. I've got what is grit, or true grit is kind of the colloquialism. True grit, I think, is defined. Let me bring it up in a dictionary here. Is a person with passion and great perseverance. A never quit mentality, right? That's the idea of true grit. That's how it's defined. Great. But a lot of people, like Instagram ass models or other folks, they sell it in these self-help books or seminars or TED Talks, if you're into the occult, as though it's some kind of a game changer for you. And, you know, I'm not really big on bumper sticker slogans when we do this closing segment. Hopefully it's something that's actually helpful for you when we do life advice. We get a lot of feedback. I really appreciate it. I'm not some wise sage, but every now and then something pisses me off enough to the point that apparently it can be insightful. Here's the thing. Grit itself is a really incomplete and not particularly valuable character quality on its own. Let me go further. I would actually say it can only be of value, grit, when combined with more important character qualities. So let me explain this to you, okay? I can't tell you how many times I've had people come into, the gym where we do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or have applied for a job here at Ladder with Crowder, and they list grit, right? That's a big part of their cover letters. Like, I never quit. I get things done. If you're looking for someone with grit, they list it as a main attribute. Okay, great. But grit applied to what? Your passion and your perseverance can be utilized to do, I don't really know, I just thought about it. And the point that I'm making here is that grit, without a skill, it can't help you without a skill set. First, you need to achieve excellence. Okay, that's what's grit without excellence is useless. As a matter of fact, I would say grit, the never quit, never give up attitude, it can hurt you if it's not combined with a true skill set. Or being excellent at something. Let me give you a couple of very real examples here. And then I'll maybe have an exercise for all of us to do that I'll need to do myself. So two examples. One time, we had a guy come into a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gym. And a strong guy, athletic, a Marine, okay? Never trained seriously in any kind of grappling. And he wanted to get himself an amateur fight right away. He was advised against it by the coach there. But he was sure he could do it. Why? And he said because I got grit. Bro, people don't understand. When it's go time, I hit a switch, and it's a different gear. Nothing can stop me. Well, we paired him with a skilled blue belt girl, and she stopped him really quickly and repeatedly. Another example of the grit. We had someone apply for a job here at Ladder with Crowder. Okay, great attitude. Really nice person. Very little experience. I took a flyer. I said, okay, you know what? This person seems like maybe they have a good attitude. They've claimed to have grit. Well, they found themselves in over their head, and then after the trial period, they were begging to find a way to recuse himself from the job here. Now, let me be really clear. Grit, again, it's an important quality. It really is. But when we think of examples of people, I think this is where people get this disconnect. We think of examples of people who have grit that we admire, right? We only think of those, or we should be, but certainly at large as a society, we only think of those who utilize grit to excellent effect. Right now, The Last Dance is playing. Everyone's talking about this at ESPN. I highly recommend you watch it. Let's think Michael Jordan. Okay, was it game six when he had food poisoning? I don't know. He had food poisoning, he had the flu, and he played through it, right? And he started off, it was really rocky, and they show this in the documentary, and it really is unbelievable. Scored 30-something points when he couldn't even drink water that day. He was throwing up nonstop. That's grit. Joe Frazier is a good example. He would absorb some of the worst beatings, right, ever in the ring. You think of the fight of the century, Thrill in the Manila, but he kept coming. He's the kind of guy who would take five shots to deliver one. Good. Those people have grit, and it is to be admired. But it's really easy to, when you're following self-help books and gurus and inspiration that really amount to nothing more than falsehoods, it's easy to miss half of that equation. We're talking about Michael Jordan and Joe Frazier. You know who else maybe had grit? George Mersham. You ever heard of him since his rom-com with Billy Crystal, My Friendly Giant, or whatever the hell it was called? You know who else might have had grit? Chuck Wepner. You know what he's most famous for? Getting his ass kicked by Muhammad Ali and inspiring Rocky, which ended up having him sue Sylvester Stallone. They called him the Bayonne Bleeder, and he's now a liquor store salesman. He's a liquor salesman, or he works at a liquor store. The point that I'm making is this, and it's not to belittle these people, but the point is no one says, I got grit, like Chuck Wepner. The point is that grit doesn't make you any better in any endeavor you choose. And so I see this a lot because people are looking for a quick fix to inspire themselves and to better themselves. And it's just, oh, if you never give up, if you have grit, we see it on Shark Tank. I trust you because you've got grit. That's half of the equation. All that grit does, it just makes you more capable of enduring abuse. More punishment, more hardship, which is great, by the way. If you're enduring, you're going through a war of attrition because you know that you've done the work and you know that you've earned this win. You know that you deserve this job. You know that you've earned that promotion. Grit is great for you to keep going. But if you haven't earned it, no matter what it is, grit won't make you run faster, think faster, be smarter, jump higher, push more strong. It can't. It can't do any of those things. It can just allow you to endure more pain as you apply discipline. And everyone inherently knows this, but for some reason they throw it out the window when they want to have a good soundbite. Let me use a very real example that you can test it right now, though don't. If I were to put you under a 650-pound barbell right now, do you think you could grit it out and lift it? No? Well, because I have an employee here, Reg, our researcher, Reg the Beast, he can. He can. I've watched him lift squat 650 pounds. Like, it was a flyweight. He has grit. But you know what else he has? He has over a decade of strength training and competing experience. He also has grit, so when he digs deep down and he grits his teeth, he bites on his mouth, it's a gold mine of experience and discipline, which have culminated in this moment where he's able to set personal records or state records, as were the case in his situation. I've had the luxury of sitting, this is one thing too, I've talked about at the show. I've really had the luxury, if obviously I'm not amongst them, but sitting at the feet and learning from the greats in many different fields. You have like Thomas Sowell in economics, John Stossel or Megyn Kelly just recently in media, Daniel Cormier, UFC heavyweight champion on fighting. It's inspiring. I get to sit and pick their brains. But let me tell you one of the most extremely humbling situations that I've ever had, okay? I was rolling with a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion, a guy named Lucas Leche. You can look him up. Really nice guy. I don't have a bad word to say about him. I want to be clear. I'm just telling the story because it embarrasses me. I didn't speak much English. Unbelievable athlete. Okay, I was pretty good at this point. Not only did he roll me up like a child, he could pretty much roll me up however he wanted, whenever he wanted. And there was a certain point in this, I think there might be some video there, where I just started laughing. Because I was so totally at his mercy, I knew there was nothing I could do. And I remember saying to myself, oh, so that's what it's like to have that skill set. That's what it's like to be that good. And you know what? I have grit in a lot of ways, but you know what? So did he. You know what else he had? He had the ability, the time, the wherewithal to train every single day for hours a day like it's his full-time job for years, because it is his full-time job. So of course he had grit, because he's a world champion. But let's assume for a second, and I'm not saying this is true, let's assume for a second that I had more, that I had the ability to bite down and dig deep more than he did. It doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter because comparatively, there's nothing there. And so often, when we observe what we see as grit or never quitting, what we're really seeing is someone, we're not seeing someone digging down deep and finding something they never knew that was within them in that moment. That's sometimes what people think, right? Oh, that guy had grit. He dug deep and he found something he never knew he had. That's not what really is happening. What we're seeing is a manifestation of someone digging deep and pulling something out that they've carefully built, prepared, and saved for that moment. And that's why I hate it. Whenever you see these histrionic, ostentatious ass bags on Instagram or in the gym or just who post some phony inspirational quote or some highlight reel to music about never giving up, about grit. Right. Like years of neglect and apathy are going to be reversed for everybody else because you happened to put on a Slayer album before you went into the squat rack. Okay, Mr. CrossFit, enjoy the rhabdomyolysis. Because here's something else we don't talk about as much. And this is really what I want to get to. You know what else actually takes true grit? It's not digging deep on the big day. It's not making a great showing at the performance hall, but digging deep every day. Digging deep to get up on time when it's cold and rainy outside, to go to the gym, to make sure you're doing your daily devotionals or setting aside reading time, or maybe you need to be working on your marriage consistently. There's no greater indicator of grit than if you've made the big show in the first place, okay? Regardless of outcome, because you've done the work to get there. The grit comes from the day-to-day grind. We often think it's someone, well, they don't quit because in this final game, we saw them pull something out. Yeah, but what about when none of you were watching? Why don't we consider that grit? It's a lot harder. So here's my question to you. It's a challenge. What is it in your life that you know you maybe need to do to achieve excellence? And whatever it is, we all have it. Something that maybe you've had this whole time and you've put off in the corner and it's still there staring at you like the swerving camera right now with my vertigo. What is it that you've put off? How important is it to you to achieve those goals? And how often have you been lying to yourself